Today on Real Radio.
So look at verse 3. He knows because faith knows to get to Jesus. So when he heard about Jesus, have you heard about Jesus? He sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and to heal his servant. We can't spend too much time on this verse, but it is pregnant with power. Look at this. So when he heard about Jesus, and so the question begs, what have you heard about Jesus?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative or gospel written by Luke. We're in a presentation taken from the opening verses of Luke chapter 7. Remember, Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, came for his people first. But this is among the first accounts of a Gentile having an encounter with Jesus of Nazareth. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called What Faith Has to Say.
We don't even know his name, but I love the guy that we're going to be looking at today. In Luke chapter 7, it's all about a centurion. Now get this. He is in Israel. He's a representative of the Roman government. The guy's from Italy. He's a centurion. He's the occupier in the land of Israel. He's about as strange as a stranger can be. And this man has faith. And you might say, well, what in the world is an Italian doing in Israel, in the Sea of Galilee region, and having faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And the truth of the matter is, keep this in mind right now, mark it well in your heart and mind, that this man chose to have faith in God. He was convinced to put his faith in God. And I want to challenge you this morning, you have faith in God, or in something anyway. You've got faith. You might say, Jack, I'm an atheist. Don't tell me I have faith. You have faith in the things that you think have convinced you to be an atheist. Think about it. Every one of us have faith in something or someone. And faith is something that we exercise daily, if you realize it or not. This morning you got in your car and you turned over the key. You didn't think about, boy, I sure hope this key makes a connection in the starter down through the electrical system and then is converted over to the fuel system. Some of you are laughing. Did your car not start this morning, Jim? But in faith, you know, you put the key in there hoping something would happen. There's an ignition, there's a spark, there's an explosion in that car, and then it goes. And you never think about that, do you? You just do it. Or maybe you walked in here this morning and you pulled up and sat down in your seat. And I know some of you have your seats. You're always in that seat every time you come. That's your seat. Even though it does not have your name on it, you wish it did have your name on it. But you had faith. You pulled up, you sat down in that seat, and you never thought, boy, I sure hope this thing holds me up. You took that for granted. You just assumed it's going to do the job. In fact, you didn't even think about it. Faith, when it is, faith when it is truly active in our lives is a characteristic, a conduct of ours as people that we don't even think about it anymore. I don't mean to sound disrespectful, by no means. But when faith is really working in our lives, we don't have to conjure up faith. Oh, I just need more faith. Well, we all need more faith. But what faith we do have in our lives at work, it is as though we are leaning upon it. We are sitting down on it like a chair. We put the key in the ignition and turn it. We don't think about it. It is happening in our lives. Real faith gets up and goes. It moves, and it's firm, and it is secure. That's the life we're going to see lived in this man, the centurion. And the title of the message this morning is this: What Faith Has to Say. If faith was going to speak to us right now, what would it say? And in a real way, you're going to hear it from the life of this Roman centurion. By the way, Jesus said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. That's an amazing statement. Have faith in God. Now, you know what? If you're in a philosophy class or a logic class, you could kind of extrapolate back out of that and come to the conclusion that whatever you have faith in is your God. And you know that's true. What is your faith in? Is it in the economy? Is it in the power of government? Is your faith in your health? Is your faith in your position? What is your faith in? There is a faith that transcends this world. It is spiritual, it is true, it is factual, and it is the faith that you put in God, in the God of the Bible. And if you've lived any bit of that life, you know that that's so very true. And so this morning, follow along with me if you would. Luke chapter 7, we're in verse 1. There the scripture says, "Now when he," Jesus, "concluded all of his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. And so when he had heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and to heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying, 'The one for whom he should do this was deserving.'" Verse 5, listen to this quote. "For he loves our nation, and he has built us a synagogue." Then Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter my roof or under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, "I say to you, I have not found such great faith, no, not even in Israel." And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. What an amazing moment this is. Keep this in mind before we get into the points of the study right now. Jesus had been preaching what is recorded in Luke chapter 6 as the great sermon. He had come down from probably Mount Hermon down to a hilly area to a flat place. For the wording used in Luke 6 was that Jesus came to a flat area and he began to speak. Jesus in the setting had been teaching and preaching the kingdom of God. And after that, coming down from that high mountain, he's now speaking, and he calls his 12 disciples out of the group of gathering there. Here's a region you can see. This is the Galilee. In fact, you see the houses going to the right, and then the high rises down to the left. Those are the homes, obviously. They're in Tiberias. And then the high rises are the hotels that are there at Tiberias. Here's another area near the Golan Heights or in the Galilee region. Jesus would have been, and hasn't changed, by the way, in thousands of years. This is where Jesus would have been teaching. He's coming from that great mountain that would be behind your back in this photo down to where he would be, Capernaum is right in the middle of your picture right there. That's where he's heading. He's walking that way. And word comes to Jesus as a centurion is in need. And so the first thing I want you to realize, mark it down if you would, point number one in our study is what faith has to say. Number one, faith says, think outside the box. Faith says, think outside the norm, think outside the box. Because Jesus Christ had come, yes, the Bible says he first came to the nation of Israel. This man was a Gentile from Italy. This guy was an Italian. He was not of the commonwealth of Israel. But Jesus first comes preaching the gospel to the nation of Israel. But there were a nation, an empire, occupying the land. In this case, there was a Roman centurion guard who had heard about Jesus. And I want you to be thinking outside the box this way. Number one, jot it down. Because faith thinks outside the box, faith calls for help. I want every man to write that down. This is so not us. Listen, guys, faith calls for help. You say, "I don't get that. If I have faith, I don't need to call for help." That's stupidity, guys, and we have a lot of it in our lives. We think that if we call for help, that it's a sign of weakness. That just is pure arrogance. The truth of the matter is, faith says think outside the box because faith calls for help. When you call for help, you are expecting, listen carefully, you are expecting someone to be on the other side, don't you? You believe that there's somebody on the other side. If you dial 911, you expect an answer. You hope anyway. You don't want to get put on hold. When you dial 911, you are calling for help. You're calling for backup. You're calling for comfort in the midst of trouble. If you and I truly have faith, we are going to be doing this one thing. We're going to be calling out to God for help. Verses 1 and 2, it says here, "Now when he, Jesus, concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die." The Bible tells us, as you can see here, that Capernaum being in the north on the west side of the Galilee Sea, this is where the man is out of. This is where he's stationed, apparently. This is his community. And the Bible tells us that he is going to be a great blessing. Here is that area. And we have another slide. Check this out. This is, and those of you who have been there, and there's a lot of you that's been to this location, we've actually had a chance to preach several messages inside that synagogue. This is the synagogue that was reassembled of this centurion's building. This centurion gave either the money or somehow the right for the Jews in Capernaum to build it. That is the only synagogue found in Capernaum, and the archaeological evidence proves that this is, in fact, the one found right here in Luke chapter 7. Aren't you glad and happy that your faith is founded upon fact? I love that you can open the Bible and go look at the sites. That is so great. So just imagine for a moment, all the people gathered around, they're worshipers of the Lord, and the centurion took great delight in seeing God's people worship the Lord. But remember, he's a Gentile, and in that sense, alienated from the people of Israel. But imagine for a moment, if you would, when the Bible tells us here in verses 1 and 2 that Jesus had concluded his teaching and that he's heading toward Capernaum. I wonder what the city was thinking. You guys, Jesus is pretty famous. By the time we come to Luke chapter 7, people have heard of him from southern area of Israel, northern Egypt, all the way up into Syria, into Lebanon, up into those regions. Jesus is pretty well known. And hundreds of thousands of people are trying to find out where he is to listen to what he has to say. And imagine a community hearing Jesus is coming. That Jesus that we're hearing about, he's coming. Amen. That Jesus that we've been having people report back to us and say, "Man, I couldn't see, now I see, he's healed me." This is the Jesus that's coming. People began to talk, people began to get excited, and the centurion heard that Jesus was coming. But faith, real true faith, sees God outside the box. Remember, the children of Israel carried God around, so to speak, in a box, didn't they? When they were in their wilderness wanderings, God had given them the architectural design of the Ark of the Covenant. And God said, "There I will meet you," didn't he? And that's where he met them. The glory of God in the tabernacle of meeting with Moses shone over that ark. Then the ark was moved into the temple of God in Jerusalem. And so, in a sense, God was out of the box and in the temple. The Bible tells us that when Solomon was there and the temple was completed, the glory of God illuminated the temple, and the priests could not even enter inside the temple due to the fact of the presence of God. Can you imagine? That would be awesome. Can you imagine looking at the glow of God coming out of the temple, and you're supposed to go in because the priest order, "Okay, go in," and you're going in, and it's like, "Wow, I'm not going to go in there. This is altogether awesome." But then listen, the temple no longer stands. And if we understand the Bible, that's a very fine thing for us. Because you know what? Our God, even King David said, our God cannot dwell in temples made with hands. Did you hear that? You can't make a box to put God in. You can't make a building to put God in. God doesn't dwell in this building until you show up. You say, "What?" It's true. God doesn't dwell in this building until you show up, because if you're a believer, says the Bible, if you're born again, says Jesus, we are now temples of the living God. He dwells in us. And wouldn't it be amazing for a moment that if we cut ourselves, if we tripped and hurt our, you know, we got a little rip on our knee, that wouldn't it be amazing if the glory of God kind of shot out of that little, look, he's glowing. But that's not true, but I'm just saying the Bible does say that the Holy Spirit dwells in us who are believers. And it's no more that kind of earthly glory. The glory is coming, or I should say we're going to it, unless Jesus comes today and comes to us and brings it. But the truth of the matter is, faith is outside the box, and a true manifestation of that is if we call upon the Lord. And this man is going to be calling on the Lord. Secondly, faith says, think outside the box, because faith knows to get to Jesus. Have you noticed everywhere in the world, Jesus Christ is either worshiped or hated? His name is either praised or cursed all around the world. How do you explain that? In any culture, it's bizarre. Jesus' name is cursed or praised. People bow their head to thank him for lunch, and people curse him when they hit their finger with a hammer. The name of Christ. You'll either run from it or you'll be drawn to it. This centurion, as we shall see, he's thinking outside the box. He's thinking this, if God is God, and I've listened to some of these sermons that are being held in the synagogue. If God is God, then he's big. If God is God, then he's not burdened or laden with the little silly things that humans bicker back and forth about. Think about it. If God is God, the centurion, I'm assuming, I'm making this up right now. The centurion could have thought, if God is God, if he's not contained in a box, and he's not contained in a building, then how can he be contained among just a people or just a race or just a group? Maybe God is reaching out to everybody, calling to all people. Maybe for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, we would say today, amen? Maybe. Maybe if you're Filipino, Italian, maybe if you're Russian or Spanish, or maybe if you're a German or a Canadian, that you can call out to God. That's thinking about God outside the box. No one can come up and say, well, you know, I'm this or I'm that, or how about this? I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Lutheran, or I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Calvary Chapeler. That doesn't impress God, nor does that grant you access to God. He's not limited by a denomination. He's not limited by a movement. He's awesome. He's beyond all that. The Bible says God is spirit. And he's looking for those to worship him in spirit and in truth. So look at verse 3. He knows because faith knows to get to Jesus. So when he heard about Jesus, have you heard about Jesus? He sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and to heal his servant. We can't spend too much time on this verse, but it is pregnant with power. Look at this. So when he heard about Jesus, and so the question begs, what have you heard about Jesus? Church, are you with me? You're awful quiet. Are you here? What have you heard about Jesus? Has that affected you? You think something about him based upon what you've heard. Some people say, I have no problem with Jesus. It's Christians I can't stand. I understand that. I had a friend of mine who's a pastor of a church, and he said, you know what? I love God. Christians just drive me nuts. And he's the pastor of the church. I understand that. But listen, what have you heard about Jesus? I don't go to church anymore because I had a pastor one time hurt my feelings. I'm sorry, but what have you heard about Jesus? It's about Jesus. Secondly, this Roman centurion, Italian, pizza-eating spaghetti guy sends Jewish leaders, Jewish religious leaders, listen to this Italian centurion, and he says to them, hey, can you guys go to Jesus? Well, we don't like Jesus. Yeah, you know what? Just listen to me. I'm asking you religious leaders, go to Jesus and plead with him to come here, please. My servant's sick. And they go. What kind of religious leaders are they? Well, we know that they appreciate the fact that they make a statement, this man loves our nation and built us a synagogue. That's their observation. That's their appreciation. This guy doesn't care about that. He cares about one thing. His servant is sick. And you might say, well, Jack, this is a message on slavery. No, it's not. Sounds like it in the English, I guess. My servant's sick. Jesus, come heal my servant. I can't pick up my coffee. Jesus, come and heal my servant. Who's gonna, you know, vacuum the hut? That's not what this is about. In fact, we can prove it. The very wording that's used here is that the centurion loves his servant. The word is compassion. Plead with Jesus. Beg him to come. Because listen, what pains my servant is heavy on my heart. He doesn't even care about him being a servant. He cares about his servant being relieved of the suffering that he's in. Listen, you know if you have true compassion when someone else's pain becomes the burden of your heart. When you look at somebody else and you say, oh, Lord, help them. Oh, God, I would give my right hand to bless them. Have you ever looked at somebody and you're moved? It's a supernatural thing. It doesn't happen every time. Have you noticed that? When you just might glance over and you see someone, have you seen someone who's handicapped or someone who's been somehow disadvantaged or broken down on the freeway and you're moved? I was coming home the other day and that was a great broad freeway and there was a divider in between. There was no physical way for me to get back on the other side of that freeway to help that lady who was just about, and watch this, guys, you cringe when you think of this. Her car, you could see the steam coming out of her hood. She raises her hood as I'm driving on the opposite direction, and I see her reaching for the radiator cap. Oh, man, ladies or guys, if you don't know, don't ever touch your radiator cap in that situation. And I just said, oh, Lord Jesus, don't let her touch it. I couldn't do anything about it but shoot a fast prayer up to heaven. And I just thought of her hands being scalded and burned, leaving some flesh on that cap when she jerked her hand away. You look at somebody and you're moved and you would say, if I could just give them my own eye, that they might have sight. You're moved by that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called What Faith Has to Say, taken from the opening verses of Luke chapter 7. It's part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Listen, there's a date approaching of which we at Real Radio remind you every year. Here's Pastor Jack to tell us what it is.
Mike, thank you very much. We are coming up on the Call to Fall outreach that literally spans America. And what that is a nationwide call for believers from sea to shining sea to get on their knees and to pray. The Call to Fall last year resulted in thousands and thousands of believers praying for revival, praying for our troops, praying for our leaders, praying for our government, and praying for God to have his way with America. Call to Fall. You can find out more about it by going to calltofall.com. That's call2fall.com. And when you go there, go to the section where it says I'm in, and you can click on that button and be part of this amazing nationwide prayer gathering and make a statement, take a stand by falling on your knees. I encourage pastors and churches to take part of their Sunday morning service, just a few moments, to get on their knees. I tell you what, it's a moving thing. It's a powerful thing when a church physically gets on its knees on a Sunday morning and lifts up the concerns of our nation to our loving God. So let's meet at Call to Fall. God bless you.
All right. And of course, you can visit us at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org to learn more about Call to Fall. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can also be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.